Further ado, I'd like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Jerry Brown.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You guys for being here and wanting to hear God's word, having your hearts open to it. It's always a blessing to see. And I know that you have some things to tell me. Before I get started, I can't even begin until you get it off your chest. So go ahead. I am what the word of God says I am. I have what the word of God says I have. I will be what the word of God says I will be. I can do what the word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Y en español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. That's quite an undertaking. Today I'd like to teach on acceptance and suffering. It really was just going to be a teaching on acceptance, God's acceptance of you, but it led into suffering, and you'll see what I mean. I think it'd be very interesting. I think it'd help you a lot, because we're all well-doers, aren't we? And yet we all suffer because of being buffeted by evil of some sort, and God wants us to understand that that's okay, but he also tells us how to deal with it. That's what's really cool. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 10. Belief that God accepts you is foundational to your personal growth. If you do not believe that God accepts you, you're not going to have a good growth experience. It just won't be there. You can go through the religious acts and look like you're having a good personal growth experience. And you may fool others. You might be a great prayer and a great giver and a great worker, and a great this, and a great that, and the list goes on. But deep, 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 deep down in the caverns of your heart, if you do not believe that God accepts you, your personal growth will be nothing but fool's folly. And so Peter, with the help of God, of course, on the Sermon on the Mount, let loose some fantastic doctrine about God's acceptance. This is not just a personal problem when people don't accept that God accepts them. This is a worldwide epidemic. And so it was addressed in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." He could have just stopped there, but it wasn't enough. You know that God's not a respecter of persons, but that's not enough to convince you that he accepts you. But truly, if he is not a respecter of persons, doesn't that immediately imply his acceptance? Verse 35, "But in every nation he that feareth him," and that means respect and awe, "and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." So there's a lot of qualifications in there. "In every nation he that feareth him." So these are people that have chosen God, the true God. and worketh righteousness. These are people who are born again. There's only one way to work righteousness. You have to have Christ in you, and then you are righteous. But you're not righteous until then. Is accepted with him. This message was broadcasted to mankind that God accepts his people. Now, he doesn't accept everybody, but he does accept his people, the righteous ones, the ones that fear him. And it doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter where Christianity springs up. Could be in the deepest, darkest parts of the world, but he still accepts his Christian people. God is no respecter of persons. If God did respect people, not everyone would be accepted by him. It would be back to the works thing. So if you prayed better than you, well, you get accepted and you don't today. Maybe this week, maybe this month, maybe a whole year. And then you finally get it together and then you start praying better than you pray. And then what? It just can get really weird. And that's just one like tiny minuscule slice here. It's nothing. And that doesn't even address really the pain that goes on in your own heart when it comes to believing God's acceptance. It's not about prayer. It's about you fighting down the beast in those caverns, in the very depths of your heart, and chasing them out of there once and for all, and then getting to the place where you actually believe that God accepts you. But he's no respecter of persons. If he were a respecter of persons, how could he possibly ask you to believe that he accepts you? It doesn't even make sense. There's no way he could lay that at your feet. If he also laid at your feet that he's a respecter of persons. Most of us are respecter of people. We'll build vendettas against people. And then love against people, or for people, out of the same mind. Most of us are respecter of people. And we could never be a God. There's no way that we could be a just God because our works already are evil. And it's important for us to live according to God's standard, but it's also a very big struggle, as you well know. But at the very bottom of your personal growth, at the very base of your personal growth, you must believe that God accepts you. And fundamental to that belief is knowing that God is not a respecter of persons. Well, do you believe that God is a respecter of persons? Maybe you do. And maybe that is your stumbling block. Maybe you believe that God is a respecter of persons, that you're not good enough. So he doesn't respect you. Interesting, isn't it? And you can say, well, Jerry, no, wait a minute. I mean, I believe what the word says. I mean, it says he's not a respecter of persons, so fine. That's what I believe. But how do you live? How do you breathe? What happens in those caverns? Do you believe that God is a respecter of persons? When you walk, in your daily walk, do you believe that he accepts you? When you walk in your daily walk, do you feel that you're not accepted because you're just not good enough? Well, if that's the feeling you have and the thought that you have, consequently the belief that you have, then you're basically acknowledging that God is a respecter of persons and that he doesn't respect you. So fundamental to believing in God's acceptance for you is accepting that he is not a respecter of persons, and he, which means he doesn't respect you any more or any less than the next Christian. They all get the same truckload of respect or lack of respect. Whatever the case may be, that's God's business. But the same, and it's all about grace. You'll see that in the word when it comes to acceptance. It's all, the measure is the same to everybody. He's dealt the same measure of grace to everybody. Romans 12. What I'm trying to do right now is probably open your hearts. And some of y'all have real closed hearts today. I don't know why, but we need to open this up a little bit. And you need to get yourself to the place that you're willing to let God infiltrate the deepest, darkest caverns in your heart and have his truth expose and bring light down into those depths so that you can change, so that your core belief changes. Nobody can do that except God's word. And yet you're the one that has to open your heart to it. If you don't open your heart, you will never change. And it's nobody's fault. It's the way it is. You've got to open your heart. You've got to be willing. One of the biggest stumbling blocks to accepting these truths, number one, that God is not a respecter of persons, and number two, that God accepts you no matter what, is you not being a respecter of persons. Because you can't believe the contrary. If you're living a lifestyle of being a respecter of persons, it is virtually impossible for you to believe that God is not a respecter of persons because of your lifestyle. You embrace the unembraceable. You embrace the contra doctrine, so to speak, where he's saying, I'm not, and you're saying, I am. They don't mix. So you have to open up your heart to change. Now, that's a remarkable feat, yet fully accomplishable through God's word. Romans 12 teaches us all about that. Maybe in a new light today. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, and that means religious, service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have acceptance twice in those two verses. We have lifestyle, and we have God's acceptance. They go hand in hand. They're coupled intricately together. With God's acceptance comes an ominous responsibility to live an acceptable life. And that's what the renewed mind is. And so with the renewed mind, again, you're not going to go very far if you don't believe in God's acceptance. And you certainly won't be living an acceptable lifestyle. Acceptance is fundamental and foundational. Before you do anything in any area of life, there has to be a measure of acceptance deployed. Otherwise, you will reject it. And you do this 100 times a day. You walk into a shop. You walk into work. You walk into your house. You choose food. You do all these things. If you don't accept what's presented, you reject it and move on. Acceptance is fundamental. It's foundational to every aspect of life. When a coworker comes up and has something to say, whether good or bad, the outcome of that conversation will be intrinsically guided by your acceptance or rejection. And we just go through it like that. Just boom, 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 boom. Acceptance is foundational. It's fundamental to every movement in life. Beliefs, science theories, evolution, food, exercise, God's word, principles of daily living, principles of healthy lifestyle. The list just goes on. Acceptance / rejection play the initial role in getting that rocket ship off the ground. You will never move into something if you don't accept it. If you have moved into something, you've accepted it. And so if you are troubled because you don't believe God accepts you, then you already have moved into accepting that He doesn't accept you. I know that's pretty logical, but it's important to lay it out a little bit. If you embrace the unembraceable, or really what we're supposed to refuse or reject, you're going to have a very difficult time doing that 180 and going to the other belief, the contra belief, where in reality you have accepted the contra belief in the first place, that God didn't accept you. Now you got to turn around and accept the real belief that He does accept you. So if you're down inside the cavern of your heart and it's a mess because you just don't accept God's acceptance, you need to do that 180. You embrace the unembraceable. You're wrong for doing that, and you need to change. God's acceptance of you is foundational to your personal growth. And if you are stymied in your personal growth and are embattled with the same pains down deep inside day after day, it is time for you to do the 180. But nobody can do that but you. You can blame everybody and everything on why you're not growing, why you feel like you're not growing. I'm not even saying you're not growing. I'm just saying if you're going through that, you know if you're going through that. It's just like if you're a respecter of persons and you treat one person badly and another person goodly. You know that, do you not? You know your life. You just know. So there's no convincing that something needs to be done. It's more deciding to do it. And at first it'd be a struggle. Have you ever had to do a 180 on a highway? You know, sometimes you got to drive for miles before you can get it off the highway and have an overpass to drive under and come back around. Well, life is like that too. It might take you a few miles of this journey, so to speak, to be able to figure out where to turn around. Because you're the one driving the car. You're the one that's got to keep yourself safe. You're the one that's got to do it right. so that it works, and then you're safely back on the road going in the opposite direction. You're the one doing it. There's nobody else that can do it. Now, you can sell the car and start walking, but now you got to walk to that exit, and you got to come back around, and you're just walking now on your journey. So giving up the mode of transportation isn't really the solution. And giving up the responsibility of being the driver isn't really the solution. You are responsible. Now, if you want to walk instead of drive, it's going to take a lot longer. So let's not focus on the things that really don't matter. Let's focus on the things that really do matter. God's acceptance of you is foundational and fundamental to your personal growth. And the only way that you're really going to believe that is if you truly embrace that he's not a respecter of persons. If you think you're such a creep, you're so bad that he can't accept you, you're wrong. But let me tell you, God never made you that way. When you were born into this world, you were just wonderful. You didn't have any of these issues. Not accepting God's acceptance, not accepting that he is not a respecter of persons. You didn't have any of those problems. You were just great. It wasn't until later that somebody or something came along and started teaching you things that you started making choices. And somewhere along the line, you chose to believe that you were not acceptable and that you were not respectable. And until you change those things or chase them out of the caverns of your heart, you can't embrace God's doctrine. Now, there is an easy way to do this. You can just drop all the rhetoric. You can just say, forget my past, forget this nonsense, and believe God's word. Just believe it. It's that easy. Just believe that he accepts you. You just believe it. And every time those torments come cascading down those cavern walls, you just believe the truth and chase them right back away. And they will go away. But you have to accept the truth, and you can't believe both things. And that's what the renewed mind is all about. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. God expects you to live an acceptable lifestyle. That's what it means, which is your reasonable or religious service. If you want to act religious, and it's really not even saying that, it's the method of deploying the word in your life, lifestyle, is to live as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's what that's saying. That whole part is about you reaching out into the world. And be not conformed to this world. So it's all about reaching out into the world. To do that, something's got to happen up here. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where it happens, and that's how it happens. That transfiguration, that metamorpho from the cocoon to the butterfly, it all takes place in the mind. So you know you. You know how you feel. You know what you go through. And more than likely, your fears, your anxieties, your torments all have one common denominator of Genesis. That would be, you do not believe that God accepts you. If you think a person doesn't accept you, and you fight this all day long, your real problem is not that. Your real problem is that God, you think God doesn't accept you. It always will come back to that. There's no reason that you would even mess around with whether or not somebody accepts you, if you truly believe that God accepts you. It just wouldn't matter. If you truly believe that God accepts you, you would stop being a respecter of persons, and you would stop worrying about whether other things, situations, or people accept you. They would fade in insignificance. That's your gauge. All acceptance has a base. The base being God's acceptance of you. All acceptance in any form has a genesis. And that genesis is God's acceptance of you. When and where you are troubled in your life in terms of acceptance or rejection, and that's going to be people, places, or things, that trouble is generated because of your belief that God doesn't accept you. If you want to stop the torment, if you want to stop the pain, if you want to stop the confusion that seems to waylay you day in and day out as you're being surrounded by thoughts of rejection, you must gain footing on the foundation of God's acceptance of you. There is no other way. It is the reason for allowing rejection to live in your belief system. Rejection and non-acceptance are two of the most demeaning and devilish doctrines that you could believe. And what's really sad is that when you take a Christian who knows that he's supposed to live a godly lifestyle, a living sacrifice lifestyle, an acceptable lifestyle, a holy lifestyle, and they can't because they don't believe that God accepts them, they turn into religious robots. They just do things. They act parts out. They're great actors. They should go to Hollywood. Oh, really, the evil one. Because their lives are based on evil. And that's the truth. I know it sounds hard, but it's the truth. If you don't believe that God accepts you, that's evil. If you believe that God's a respecter of persons, that's evil. It's just evil. And if that's down in the depth of your heart, evil comes out of you. And that's where you got to be careful. Jesus taught about the treasures of your heart. Out of the treasures of your heart, these things come, evil or good. Acceptance is at the very root of the issue. A lack of acceptance is at the very root of the problem. Acceptance is at the root of deliverance and the solution. How could God ask you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, if He was a respecter of persons? How could He do that? It doesn't even make sense. Even if there was a remote chance that He didn't accept you, just a remote one, just the tiniest one, how could He ask you? Just if there was just this tiniest microplasm of a possibility that He didn't accept you, that He wouldn't accept you one day, just one second. in your past or in the future. Just once. How could he possibly ask you to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him? How? There's no squirming room, folks. If you have even an iota of belief in here, in your heart, that God doesn't accept you, you're destined for failure. You're destined for torment. You're destined for pain. No man in his right mind would ever present his body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, if there was any possibility that God was a respecter of persons. It just wouldn't happen. Romans chapter 14. I'll probably have to pick this one up. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Well, respecter of people judge. They're just vicious. And if you've ever been judged by somebody, you're dealing with that. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. This happens to be the crux of the matter. You could be so good, well-meaning in all that you do, yet if you're a stumbling block to somebody, then your good is going to be evil spoken of. I don't care how good you are. People are going to think you're evil, whoever you're doing that to. And you'll not be able to beat that one down with a stick. I mean, you just won't have a big enough stick. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in Holy Spirit. Again, the crux of the matter is about righteousness, peace, and joy, not about meat. Verse 18, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Understanding the concept of not being a stumbling block, of not putting yourself in a situation where your good is evil spoken of, and also of focusing on the importance of righteousness, peace, and joy instead of meat or drink, that brings you God's acceptance and approval of men. Very significant. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. You're not going to fix that man, but you can always choose an acceptable lifestyle. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. So this stumbling block thing extends far beyond meat and drink. It's anything. It's anything that you do that's offensive. It's anything that you do that brings weakness into somebody else's life. God established laws whereby when we adhere to them, they're met with the most significant blessings. In the case of refusing to become a stumbling block in your brother's way, this is an acceptable act before God, and you will be approved of men. So we've learned that the real issue is not meat, drink, or anything whereby your brother stumbleth or is offended or made weak, God places untold emphasis on following after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Our motivation is simple. We do not want our good to be evil spoken of. And I'd like to end this teaching with that. And I'll pick this up again at the next area of fellowship. Thank you.